Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you. We thank you for the mighty word of the living God. We thank you that we're children now, children of the King. And Lord, we ask you to reveal your mighty word to us as we go through this study, as we are going to study some in the book of Matthew today. I ask you to bless and anoint your mighty word with great power and authority and give us revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding from your mighty word as we read and study the word. Now, Satan, I rebuke you. I have power over you in the name of Jesus, and I command you in Jesus' name to get your hands off of us as we study the word of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this week I'm going to talk a little bit about Matthew chapter 4, about Jesus' ministry, the beginning of his ministry, and how he started out. In Matthew chapter 4, you'll find that it says, verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And it says, "When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry." Now, one of the things you need to notice here, that Jesus was led by the Spirit. And that's the first thing you and I have to learn how to do, is to be led by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to our mind, we need to be obedient to Him and do whatever He tells us to do. Now, the Spirit speaks to every one of us. A lot of people have never trained themselves to listen to the Spirit. Whenever the Lord speaks to us through the Spirit, some people call it conscience. They just don't understand what it is that's talking to them. But you need to realize that you receive inputs to your brain from three sources. Number one is you. You receive inputs from you and your five physical senses. And number two, you receive input from the devil. Now, the devil will put thoughts right in your mind. He will create and generate strongholds in your mind. He will lead you astray. He is the instigator behind all sin. Whenever the enemy, when you're growing up as a young man or a young woman, and he puts those thoughts in your mind to smoke a cigarette, to drink a bottle of beer, to drink alcohol, to become sexually involved with some man or woman out of wedlock, all those thoughts that come to your mind are contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. And they will defile your temple. They will kill you. They will make you sick and afflict you. And the thing you need to realize is that voice is talking to you, and that voice is the devil. That's one of Satan's demons that are putting those thoughts in your mind. And he is there bombarding your mind on a daily basis, trying to get you to yield to him and his wicked ways. You do not have to yield to anything the devil throws at you. There's never been anything in this dispensation of grace that we live under where we have the Holy Spirit. If we will listen to the Spirit of God, we will be able to overcome all sin. We don't have to yield to sickness and disease. But when you realize that you have been given this kind of power and authority on this earth by our Lord, it will change everything you do in life. So you will hear one of these three voices talking to you. It'll either be your own thoughts, or they'll be coming from the devil, or they'll be coming from the Holy Spirit. And now, once in a while, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in an authoritative voice. Now, when you hear that, you will never forget that. I will have to say, the first time that happened to me, I never forgot it. Back in 1977, in June, was the first time that I heard the authoritative voice that sounded audible of the Lord. But he spoke to me, and I'm telling you, I thought somebody walked in the room and spoke to me. And, of course, that was the beginning of what changed my life forever. So I heard a voice, and that voice I heard was the Holy Spirit, because what he was telling me was exactly what the scripture was telling me to do. Now, anytime the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He will always tell you something that will line up with the Word. Now, you may have to do a little research sometime to figure it out, because the Lord has spoken to me many times since then, and some of the things He's told me to do even would give me the scripture reference as to what He was talking about, but it would take me sometimes months to get the revelation on that verse of scripture. It didn't read either like I thought it was going to read, or the enemy was blinding my mind to the truth, and I was in a spiritual battle, and sometimes it takes a while to overcome that. But anyway, you'll get those inputs, but right here in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested or tempted of the devil. Well, let me tell you, the devil is going to be given the privilege to tempt and put you to the test, because God wants a group of children that are raised up that know how to overcome the enemy. And it says here, the very first thing Jesus did. Now, this is something that I don't know how many years I read this. I don't know why it took me so long to realize if Jesus did something, we should do the same thing. But it says, and when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. When He had fasted, I don't know why I didn't think fasting was for me. But as I read on in the New Testament, Paul fasted often. And many of the apostles, like all of them at one time or another, fasted and prayed. And sometimes they fasted and prayed days. And whenever they would do that, then the Lord would show up and great and mighty miracles would happen. So this is a thing that Jesus started His ministry around, fasting. Now then, you need to know, if you're ever going to fast 40 days and 40 nights, I'm going to tell you that Luke 6:40 says no disciple can be above his master. Well, Jesus is our master. Our master fasted and prayed 40 days. But our master did not go to work and work a job like some of us have to do while He was fasting and praying. It says He went into the wilderness and fasted and prayed. So if Jesus went into the wilderness to fast and pray, then the Lord Himself is not going to expect you to try to hold down an 8-hour or a 10-hour or a 12-hour work day for 40 consecutive days and go without food, only drinking water. Now, I have worked many a time and take a 3-day fast or a 7-day fast or even a 14-day fast, that's not so bad. But a 21-day fast is a pretty good load. If you go 21 days, which is only just a barely over halfway to a 40-day fast, I can assure you, you will get weak. You will have times of spells when you, like for instance, if you're driving and you stop and you get out, you will become dizzy for a minute or for a half a minute or something. Things will kind of disappear for a few seconds. Well, let me tell you, that's because you're weak. Those are normal things to happen to you. But if you've never been on a fast, then you know you don't want to go on a 40-day fast your first time. You want to make sure that you go on some body cleanses first. You want to take some time and cleanse yourself from the junk of the world and the toxins that are in there. Because if you've never been on the extended fast, you need to get some help from somebody that has before you even attempt to go on a 40-day fast. Because it could seriously damage you. So you need to know how to go on a fast. You need to know how to pray during a fast. You need to know how to come off of a fast and everything. But you need to know that if you're going to go on a 40-day fast like Jesus did, you cannot work and carry a full-time load. You need good, clean water, and lots of it during this time. But this is how Jesus started His ministry. He started out fasting and praying. Now then, as He fasted and prayed, you notice that for 40 days and nights, He fasted and prayed, and then you notice what happened. Now let me tell you, this will probably happen to you if you go on a 40-day fast. Now, I believe Jesus saw the devil. Now, I don't know that. I cannot confirm that from Scripture. But it says, after He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, if you're fasting and you're going on an extended fast, and say 10 days, 14 days, 21 days, or whatever it was that you were going to do, and if all of a sudden you become very hungry, then that means your fast is over. Because if you're going on a fast for the Lord and to gain knowledge and wisdom and revelation from the Word of God, if you will talk to your body first, you will not experience hunger pains during the time. I've been on several fasts, and when I do it right, when I tell my body what I'm going to do, then during those periods of time, whether it be 7 days, 14 days, 18, 21, whatever it is, I do not encounter hunger pains while I'm on a fast. The Lord will take those away. But after 40 days, Jesus became hungry. And says, and when the tempter, or the devil, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, let me tell you right here, this is exactly the way the enemy is. He knew Jesus was the Son of God. He had been roaming around over this earth looking for him. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know who he was, but he knew he was going to come because the Lord had told him back in the Garden of Eden that he was going to bring him. He's looking for him, but he does not know where he is. But when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and came up out of the water, the Lord spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So when the Lord spoke, then the devil knew for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, who Jesus was, that he truly was the one he was looking for. So he went in to tempt him, and the very first thing he did, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now that's the way the devil will do each one of us. He will always put that word if in there to get you and me to doubt. Well, you know, what if God doesn't do this for you? What if he doesn't show up for you? What if he doesn't heal you? Well, this is where you must know the Word of God. You must have this thing down so pat that you absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt what God's will is here. Because look at what Jesus said. Jesus come back and answer said, it is written. Now, this is something you and I have to know to beat the enemy. You must know what the Word of God says, and you must know it is written. And the best thing you can do is know where it's written. But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, then, you must know the Word to be able to overcome the devil. Now, I'd like to invite you to give us a call at 940-242-2106. We would be happy to send you out free and postpaid audio, video, CD, DVD teachings. You can go to our website at www.tlsm, and there you can find many of the audio and free and audio video tapes and all sorts of our calendar of events where we're going to be speaking, and all these different things we're going to be doing. So contact us through the web, and have a blessed day in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for the mighty word of the living God. And Father, as we read and study your word today, as we continue on in Matthew chapter 4 and the ministry of Jesus and how he did it, I ask you to give us revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your mighty word. Now, Father, thank you for the word as we study out of the book of Matthew chapter 4 today. In Jesus' name, amen. We were just talking about yesterday how Jesus' ministry started, how he started by fasting and praying, how he went into the wilderness and was led by the Spirit and stayed out there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you notice that Jesus, to fast 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't go to work every day. He stayed in a place where that he could just fast and pray and talk to God. Now, that's the way you and I will get strong in the Lord, is by fasting and praying. And if you're trying to work and carry a full-time job, you can't spend the time praying that you need to. So you need to spend that time with the Lord. But if you do that, I can assure you, the tempter, or the enemy, the devil, he will come and attack you just like he did Jesus. So you need to be ready. Now, yesterday we talked about up through Matthew 4:4, where the devil had taken Jesus and how Jesus had come against him with "it is written," and he quoted the word of God to him, and he quoted him in Deuteronomy 8:3. But then in verse 5, after Jesus quoted the word of God to the devil didn't leave him the first time. So there is a message here for you and I. If the Lord himself can quote the word of God to the devil, and he doesn't leave the first time, then you need to get used to it. He's not going to leave you the first time you quote the word. So everything in here is an example for you and me. But anyway, in verse 5, it says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." So he took him up and set him on the pinnacle, and then the devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God." You notice he's still got that "if" in there. He's always puts that "if" in there. He does everything he can to get you and me to doubt this mighty word, or to doubt that we are who we are in Christ. And he done a good job on me for a lot of years, but he's having a little more trouble with me now than he used to. But he says, "If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written." Uh-oh, the devil's quoting the word of God now. Isn't this amazing? "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you shall dash your foot against a stone." Now, that is written in Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. The devil knows the word of God, too. Now, if he knew the word of God 2,000 years ago, you can be assured he knows it better today than he did 2,000 years ago. He knows it. I will guarantee you the devil knows the word of God better than any Christian out there today, because he's quoting these things to Jesus years ago. So I can assure you he's going to do the same thing to you. So you better make sure that you have several scriptures hidden in your heart, and you can spit them out of your mouth. Now then, it says, "Jesus also said unto him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." So, see, they're using the word. Both of them are using the word. The devil's using the word, and Jesus is using the word. Now then, it says, "And even after the second time, the devil still didn't leave him." It says, "And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world." Now, this is where he gets most men and women today. When he begins to show you the glitter and the power of this world, most people will give anything they have for power in this world. Well, let me tell you, don't go there. It's not worth it. The Lord has something far better for you than the power of this world. But the devil has taken him up into an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now then, and they belong to the devil, because he got them legally whenever he deceived us in the fall. "And he said unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Now see, these things technically still belong to the enemy today. "You shall, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence," or "get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve." Now, great message right here in this. Three times the devil has come against Jesus. Three times Jesus has told him it is written. One time, the middle one there, the devil quoted the word of God and said it is written. Because, like I say, he knows the word of God. So he's going to do everything he can to deceive you and tempt you and draw you off. Then it says in verse 11, after confronting the devil three times with it is written, it says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Now, if the devil is not going to leave Jesus until the third temptation, the third fall, or the third quoting of the word of God, And so Jesus did not fall. If that beast is going to do those things to Jesus, I can assure you he's going to put you to the test. So get used to it. You're going to be tested. The devil is going to do everything he can to put you to the test. And most of us Christians, unfortunately, we don't know enough about the Word of God to understand what's going on, because this beast is invisible. He is living in a second heaven, which occupies the same space as the first heaven. The only thing about it is all the beings in that second heaven, including that second heaven, is invisible. Now, it's invisible, but that doesn't mean it's there. It just means you can't see it. Now, I'll give you a little example of what I'm talking about in a physical world, that you can think about this, that things that are here that we can't see. We can only see a certain spectrum of everything. So if you were to take radio waves, there is so many radio waves of so many frequencies out there today. There's literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, and they are all over the place. They're going every direction you can imagine, because people turning into dozens and dozens of radio dials, television dials, HM, high frequency, medium frequency, low frequency, you name it. There is radio waves out there in every kind of format. You can't see any of them. You can't hear any of them. You can't smell them. You do not know they're there until you get a tuner that's tuned right, where you can tune up to within the frequency range of what you're listening to, whether it be radio, television, whatever it is. And when you dial those numbers up, then you can hear that particular frequency. But you can't hear any of the rest of them. Now, it's amazing what's out there, and what you don't know is there. But they're still recording all this stuff, and they are there. Now then, this is the way the second heaven is. You can't see it, but it is there. Now then, it says, as Jesus told the devil to leave, it says the devil left, and he says the angels came and ministered unto him. Now, these angels are here to minister to you and me. They're here today not only to minister to Jesus 2,000 years ago, but these same angels are here to minister to you and me today. Now, I've had the privilege to see angels a few times, and I've had them help me do many things when I would ask them to do something that it was impossible for me to do. They have always showed up and helped me do those wonderful things. Now then, it says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now then, as Jesus went into Galilee and began to do things, his ministry was started. Now I want you to notice in verse 17, as Jesus started his ministry, I want you to notice the very first word in Jesus' ministry. Verse 17, Matthew 4:17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or it's near. What was Jesus' first message? Repent. Why do you think Jesus was telling people to repent? Why do you think he sent John the Baptist 6 months in advance to preach, repent? That's the only message John had. John's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, because the kingdom is at hand. The reason that John the Baptist and Jesus both had all the people repent is because you cannot get healed whenever your sin remains. So if you repent and turn from your wicked ways, then the Lord will forgive you, and he can move in and heal and restore your body or whatever you ask him to do. But you need to make sure that you've done that. Just like Matthew 4:17 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and Andrew his brother, and casting a net into the sea. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. Now, Jesus was out here collecting his disciples and apostles that was going to work with him. And I think that in Jesus' ministry, out of the 12 men he picked, one of them was a devil. Now then, if one of the men Jesus picked was a devil, I can assure you, if you have a very large ministry, you're going to have at least one or two devils in your midst. It is absolutely, absolutely impossible today to have a ministry if your ministry is doing anything for the kingdom of God. Now, if you just got a traditional ministry that does not pray, you know, they're not involved in ministering to people, you know, they're not going out and laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, and doing all these things that Jesus told us to do. You're not winning the lost, not saving the lost. If you're not doing any of those things, there may not be very many big, powerful demons around your ministry. But I'm going to assure you, you get out there and start doing something for Jesus in a mighty way, and he starts showing up, and you start seeing people get saved, healed, and delivered, and start seeing miracles happen, I can assure you the devil will come against your ministry. So get ready for it. It will happen. Come to an end of another day. I'd like to invite you to go to the website, www.tlsm.org. There you can get a complete list of all of the locations we're going to be speaking. There you can order free audio and video tapes, DVDs, CDs, everything, our new music CD. My wife writes music and making her new CDs. We have some beautiful music that she sings, and we go to churches and speak as well as teach the Word of God and sing. So, you know, she's got some very beautiful music out there. And if you'd like to have any of our stuff, go to the website. And if you don't have a computer, call us at 940-242-2106. And have a nice day. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and worship you and thank you for the wonderful things you do. We're thankful for this magnificent book I call the Owner's Manual, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that tells us exactly what to do, how to live, and everything we should do in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I thank you that the Word is true. I thank you that you come and you bore our sin on the cross so we don't have to sin. You said we should die to sin and live unto righteousness. And thank you that you bore our sickness and removed our disease on the cross, that by faith, when we walk holy before you, we don't have to be sick anymore either. And I thank you and praise you for all these promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, we're in Matthew chapter 5 today. And Jesus starts out, we're talking about Jesus' ministry. And when I think about his ministry and how he started out blessing the people, or telling the people what if they would do, they would be blessed. He goes down through the list there, and, you know, he's talking about being blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now see, there is a very good, wonderful thing to learn right there, that if you'll do what the Lord says, you'll get to be able to see the Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Now, this is difficult for us to grasp, that when people revile us or make fun of us or come against us hard, it's hard for us to take that laying down. But Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, it says, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. He also says we are the light of the world, and a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Now, the thing about he's talking here, that we need to be salt and light as Christians. I mean, everybody else is coming out of the closet today. They're telling everybody who they are and what they're doing. I mean, don't you think it's time we, as the children of the King of the universe, we come out of the closet and start being the salt and light he told us to be? When you get to where you can believe God and you can become that salt and light and you can do what he says and you start walking through your workplace or down the street or to your next door neighbor and wherever and you start doing what God says by walking wholly before him and hungering and thirsting for his word, he says he will fill you with that word and he will teach you. And you will learn such great and awesome things that it absolutely will amaze you at what God will come down and do through you as you become obedient to his word to walk holy and in perfection as much as possible before him and do great and wonderful things in his name. Now, he tells you what all he will do. Now then, to see the Lord do these wonderful things is absolutely just something. I think about when I begin to get a hold of these kind of things, when I started asking the Lord to help me with my work in the workplace. I mean, I asked him to help me do things, to build buildings, design equipment, to explain to me certain things. And he did. He began to give me such great and awesome wisdom and revelation and understanding. When he says pray about everything, I don't do anything anymore without praying. I mean, everything I go to do, I ask the Lord to give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And it is absolutely amazing what the King will do for you. But when we get a hold of the fact that we are the salt and light on the earth, and if we, good men, don't do something, then I can assure you, the devil with his evil people will do something. We need to get in there and do something wonderful for the kingdom of God. And I think that's where we've missed it, because so many of us, we go to work today and they say, oh, don't talk about Jesus. You might offend somebody. Well, let me tell you, there are some people out there today that need to know and hear about Jesus. And if we're not talking about him, we're not living the example, they will never know. And I think about this, to think that if you fail to tell somebody about Jesus and they miss knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, then those people's wages for sin is not only death on this earth, but is spiritual death in the lake of fire, and they will spend eternity in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. I can't even fathom that. I don't want nobody to go to that place. I want everybody to know Jesus. So I'm going to do everything I can, even in the face of the enemy. And I know I'm going to be bucking him right straight on, but that's okay. I know that my Jesus is bigger than him. In fact, as I boldly confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, when I learned that what Matthew was telling us here, that I was salt and light and I was to go forth, I was to tell people about Jesus, I was to lay hands on the sick for them to be healed and all these things, I began to see the Lord do such mighty and awesome things. Miracles in the area of healing and deliverance, as well as helping me with my job in building equipment, building buildings or whatever. I come in, I built some buildings and came in with some record numbers as far as budgets is concerned. They could not understand how I could build these buildings with such quality on such little money. Well, I told them, it's simple. I asked the Lord, and he shows me how to do it. So people think you're crazy. Some people will persecute you. Some people will joke at you and all those kind of things. But that's okay. We're children of the Most High God. We're not trying to convince nobody. We're just trying to tell them that Jesus loves them and he wants to save them just like he did you and me. But anyway, don't miss an opportunity to tell someone about the grace and the glory of God, because the King is an awesome God and he loves you with all his heart. So take every opportunity to share the truth of the kingdom with people when you can, and do what the Word of God says, and you'll get to see the Lord answer some wonderful prayers. Now then, I'm going to go just a little bit further on down here in Matthew 5 to verse 21. He says, "You have heard that it was said of them of old, 'You shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.'" Now, that was written in the law. Now, we know that, but I'm going to show you here that under this new grace that we've got now since the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He put a more stringent requirement upon us than the law. Look what He says here in verse 22. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." Now, it says, isn't it amazing that if you really believe those things, you would never call anybody a fool again? Under no conditions would you go there. You do not want to go there. You want to read this book, and you want to believe this book, and you want to walk holy before God. Now, you definitely don't want to get angry with someone, because under the law, the Word of God says that you had to kill them to be guilty of murder. But Jesus said under this area that we live today that if you get angry with your brother without a cause, you know, you shall be guilty. In other words, for sure, be able to control your tongue. Watch what you say. Don't say anything rashly or quickly. Stop and think and capture every thought, and even cast down the thought, cast down even the imagination of the thought if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Then it says in verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar," and that's your money, you're going to bring your money to the altar, "and there remember that your brother has something against you," he says, "leave your gift or your money there at the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." So the Lord's trying to tell you, I don't want your gift until you get right with mankind. When you get right with mankind, then come give me your gift. But I sent my son to pay the price for your friend's sin. So don't hold a grudge against him. It will get you in big trouble. Because in verse 25, he says, "Agree with your adversary." Now, who do you think your adversary is? This is the devil he's talking about. Our adversary is the enemy. Now, Satan today has been totally defeated by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he has zero weapons to use against you and me. Even the ordinances that were against us, which is the Word of God, according to Colossians 2, 13, 14, and 15, even those laws or those ordinances, the law was nailed to the cross by what Jesus done on the cross. So you and I are not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. But the Lord expects us under grace to walk holier and in more perfection than He did under the law, because He's telling us here in Matthew what we should do in Matthew 5. "But verily I say unto you that you shall by..." In other words, first of all, He said, when your adversary agree with him, in other words, whenever your adversary, which is the devil, accuses you of sin before the Father, He says, "Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou will be cast into prison." Now, you must read this book and believe what it says. "For verily I say unto you that shall by no means come out thence until you have paid the uttermost farthing," or the wages. In other words, if you get caught doing something you're not supposed to do as a Christian by the devil, he's going to accuse you. He is your adversary, and he's going to accuse you until he gets legal claim to you. If you don't repent very quickly, the Lord will turn you over to the tormenting spirits, and those beasts will come in to steal, kill, and to destroy. We have never put it together in most churches that sin is what brings on the curse. When we sin, it opens the door and Satan comes in to kill, steal, and to destroy. So the secret is don't sin. Walk holy before God, and you don't have to put up with that. You can walk in divine health. Now, I'd like to invite you to call me. We have many free audio and video teaching tapes, CDs and DVDs, our music CDs and everything. And everything's free and postpaid. If you'll call us at 940-242-2106, we'll be happy to send you some. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can see where we're going to be speaking. And also you can find a list of many of our audio and video tapes. You can order them online. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for this magnificent book we call the Owner's Manual, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful promises you put in this book. Thank you for sharing with us that you saved us on the cross. You healed us on the cross. You made us whole on the cross. You delivered us on the cross. And we only have to yield to the devil if we want to. Father, thank you for what you've done on the cross. And we learned it all reading this magnificent book we call the Word of God. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you and bless the Word as it goes out today to all that hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing on here a little bit more, and from yesterday in the Matthew chapter 5, we're talking about the requirements of what the Lord laid down under this new age, that of dispensation of grace that we live in. But yesterday we were reading there in Matthew 5:25, where he was telling us to agree with our adversary quickly. Of course, our adversary is the devil when he comes against us to accuse us of sin. He said, lest at any time your adversary will deliver you to the judge, and the judge will deliver you to the officer, and you shall be cast into prison. So you don't want to go there. You want to make sure your sins are repented of, and you get it done quickly. Don't give him legal right to accuse you of sin. And then in verse 27, he says, you have heard that it was said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. Well, that's written in the law. Of course, we're not supposed to commit adultery. But Jesus said, I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now then, that takes some self-control. But you can do it because it's not worthy. I mean, it's not worth it to die and go to hell because you've had to lust after a woman. You can walk right by pretty women and not have a single bad thought about them if you'll take every thought captive and cast it down, like 2 Corinthians 10:3, 4, and 5 says. But he says it's so important. He goes on to talk about our eyes, if they offend us, to pluck them out. He says, if you can't keep from sinning with your eyes, then it'd be better to die and go to hell, to die and go to heaven without arms or legs than it would be to die and go to hell. You do not want to go to hell under no conditions. Then he says, it's so important that even if your hand offend you, he said, cut it off. It says, whosoever shall put away, in verse 31, it says, and whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So when you get married, you need to make sure that you do everything you can in your power to make sure you get a good mate first time around. And then love that mate and love them like Christ loved the church. And you won't never have to be concerned about a divorce. So you don't really want to go there. If there's any way possible, you want to stay married. Now then, I will have to say that according to 1 Corinthians 7, the Scriptures definitely teaches us there that we are called to live in peace with one another. Now, it tells us everything to do. If you're a believer, you know, it tells you that you can pray, you can overcome the forces of darkness. It tells you how to treat and handle your mate so that they will come around and be good, wonderful, loving men and women. But if you are married to an unbeliever and you get saved and you want to go to church and they beat up on you or something like that, for goodness sakes, don't stay in a situation like that. You know, if you have a mate, especially women, or that are married to a man, and that man's a toughie, and he's drinking and all kinds of things, all I got to say is you should have took that man to church before you married him. But if you didn't, then that's a shame on you. What you need to do now is to find a good place and, you know, get rid of that guy. You know, you don't want to live in torment and suffering and a guy's beating up on you and everything else. I don't care. You don't need to stay in those abusive situations. The Lord clearly says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, He has called us to peace with each other. And we don't have to live in the devil's world. So whatever you do, don't live over there in that devil's world. Walk holy before God, get you a good mate, and stay in there, and stay married for life, and pray and ask the Lord to bless you. Now then, he says, verse 34, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool, or neither by Jerusalem, for the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by the bread, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yes, yes, and no, no, for whatsoever more than this cometh of evil." Now then, you need to think about this. Men and women, if you belong to any kind of an organization besides the church, now, any kind of an organization that you have to swear some kind of oath or allegiance to that is leaving out God, you need to get out of that organization. Now, there's many of them out there today. Many things that people have to do that they have to swear allegiance to something or swear an oath to something. And many Christians feel uncomfortable with that. Well, we should, because the Lord tells us, if we can't just say yes, yes, or no, no, and everything be okay, then it's of the devil, and you don't want anything to do with it. So that's where you need to go. You need to walk holy before God in everything that you do. One thing I'd like to say right here on this verse 37, he says, "But let your communications be yes, yes, and no, no, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." So if you're belonging to an organization that requires you to take some kind of an oath or some kind of a statement like that, whatever the organization is, if you have to take some kind of an oath and swear allegiance to it, and you can't talk about Jesus, and you can't swear or can't bless the Lord Jesus, can't talk about Him, can't raise your hands, if you're in a place of business like that, you need to do what I did a few years ago. You need to find you another place to work. Because there's too many people out there that will not, absolutely will not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, if you and I don't get out there and tell them about Jesus, they're not going to know very much about Him. Now then, the Lord clearly says here in His Word, He's continuing on here in Matthew, after He's telling us to not to swear, because He said if we do, then that's of the evil one. In verse 37, "But let your communications be yes, yes, no, no, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." So you got to remember that. Jesus is the one who said that. I didn't say it. But I am saying it because He said it. "But I say unto you that you resist evil, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on your right cloak, turn to him, or right cheek, turn to him the others also. And if any man will see or sue thee at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that truly hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to go down and rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now you see right there, the Lord, he has compassion on every one of us. He loves us all. He wants to do good things for us. He is blessing us. And I feel right now that America, the areas that we're not being blown away with tornadoes and hurricanes, and I realize that's a large portion of the United States, and some of them are having to use their own satellite uplinks, and some of them can't get a signal through at all. So these people need to serve the living God. You know, we need to walk holy before him. We need to see what we're doing, and we need to try to understand that if the Word of God tells us to do something, we need to sit down and we need to read this book. We need to make sure that we do what it says. And just like verse 38 here says, but you have heard that hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But just, in other words, you're supposed to pray for those that despitefully use you. In other words, we go down a little further. In verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your enemy, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, is that going to be easy to do? No, it's not. Can you do it? Yes. Why can you do it? Because Jesus told you to. In verse 46, and he says, and for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans or the sinners do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do that? So be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, what are we supposed to be? Perfect. That word there means mature. You and I are supposed to strive with all of our heart to be pure before God in all things that we do. Be holy and pure in everything we do. We can do that if we will just strive to do what the Lord told us to do. Well, we continue on here in Matthew tomorrow. We come to the end of another day. I'd like for you, if you would like, we have all kinds of audio, video, CD, DVD teachings. If you'd like any of these, they're free and postpaid. If you would call our ministry center at 940-242-2106. Also, you can contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. There you can either fill out an order form to get these free audio and video tapes, or you can find out where we're going to be speaking, or you can find out where our healing schools are. We welcome you to come. We've seen thousands of people healed at these healing schools. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we're so grateful for this beautiful day. We're grateful for the Word of God. We're grateful for all these things you told us in the Word to teach us from your owner's manual, what we should do, what we can do, what we cannot do, and what we have to do to walk in divine health, to walk free of the devil, and to walk as your children. Now, Lord, as we read and study today, continue to impress on our hearts the things we should do, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to go on here today in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to continue to see some of the things that Jesus told us to do as he was starting his ministry. Jesus is saying to the people here, he said, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Or in other words, don't give your money before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now then, that's terrible. If you're out there saying, look at me, I'm giving this much money, doing all kinds of things, the Lord says you have no reward in heaven. So when you give money, just give it. Give it to the ministries that you feel that you're growing with, and then just praise the Lord and thank him for your return. He says, therefore, verse 2, therefore when you do things, therefore when thou doest thine alms, or give your money, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, but in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Well, if that's the reward you want, is for man, then go ahead and do it. But frankly, myself, when I give money or give things into the kingdom of God, I just write it, give a check, and send it to somebody, and I don't, go around blowing our horn. Because if you do, the Lord says that's all the reward you're going to get. He says in the verse 4, that thine alms may be in, or do thy alms, or that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. Now, that's where I want to be rewarded, is by the Father. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now then, I don't want my reward from man. I want to be blessed from God. It's a whole lot better to do it the Lord's way. So the thing to do is read the book and do it God's way. Then he says, and when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Now, that's what he says do. Go into your closet and pray, and you don't have to scream and cry and kick and jump around. You can just go into your closet, get on your face before God, and begin to talk to the Father in the name of Jesus, and he will hear you. It says, and when you pray, do not use repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, they're talking out loud over and over and over and over. No, you don't have to pray like that. It don't take long to pray for something. You can go and ask the Father in Jesus' name to do something. He will do it. I've seen him do many wonderful things. And then he says, verse 8, be not ye therefore alike unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, the Lord, he's watching. His eyes are going to and through throughout the earth. But he knows what you have need of before you ask. But he will not give it to you until you ask. And then when you ask in faith, when you ask in total faith, you start seeing these great and mighty things happen. Now, Lord, I praise you and thank you and worship you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when we pray, you hear. Now then, he's going to give us an example as he's talking about praying here. That our Father knows what we have need of even before we ask, but we need to ask. Verse 9 says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is the way we're supposed to start our prayer. Our Father, which is art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a very good way to start any prayer. Or you can say, Father, our Father, which is in heaven, in the name of Jesus. But you need to put that name of Jesus somewhere in there now. In verse 10, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Now see, the Lord's will, if we would pray that his will would be done here, it would be amazing. We would have different peoples elected. We'd have voters that were electing the people instead of just the loose, immoral people out there that's electing these officials. And then he says, this is the way to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now the Lord wants the way things are done in heaven to be done in earth. Now he made this earth for you and me. He made it and give it to us, and you and me are supposed to use it. We're supposed to take care of it. We're supposed to do all things, and all things are ours on this earth. But I've come to realize that I didn't know those things. I had to really begin to read this book to find out who I was and what I could do in the mighty name of Jesus. But whenever I did and learned those things, I began to pray like the Lord says here, and I can ask for great things, and he'll do it. Then he says, after we ask for thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We know that this is the way it should be done. Our everything on earth should be just exactly like it is in heaven. And it would be if we didn't have that enemy, the devil, out here to contend with. And then he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, wait a minute. Let's think about that. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, that one has a requirement in it. Now, then, if you have a unforgiveness towards someone and you're a Christian, you have not read this book very close. Because if you have an unforgiveness toward anyone for anything as a born-again Christian, you can very easily be turned over to the enemy, and your flesh can be tormented, and he'll torment you day and night, and eventually he will kill you. And even he'll get legal right through your children and all kinds of things because of your sin. So whatever you do, make sure that when you read this book, you take it to heart. And if it says to forgive, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now then, if somebody, if we have a grudge or we owe somebody something, the Lord says we are to pay off those bills. We are not to have them, but we are to pay them off. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How powerful is our Lord and his kingdom? It has all power. When he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he defeated our enemy, the devil, and triumphed over him completely and totally annihilated the devil. Now, totally destroyed his power and his works. But unfortunately, that beast is still running around here on earth. He is still deceiving a lot of people. He's doing everything he's doing with deceit. In other words, if you want to use it like this, he's using mirrors to make himself look big and look powerful. But he's doing a good job. And as he does all those things, he gets so much legal claim to the church that he continues to make us sick and afflict us. And we don't have to put up with that if we will just read and know and act on this book. And he says, and after verse 12, verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now that is an eye-opener right there. When you get a hold of the fact, there could be many a person that has literally missed heaven for the simple reason they would not forgive their brothers and sisters of certain things that happened. And the enemy was right there getting them to stay into that state of unforgiveness. And when he does, That beast has legal right. He will send a demon or two or three. He loves it. And he loves it when you sin. But you don't want that beast. If you don't want him, all you got to do is speak directly to him and tell him you don't want him. And he has to flee from you. Satan cannot stay unless he has legal claim to you. And he gets legal claim to you through sin. So if you have a unforgiveness towards someone, forgive them. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now then, if you don't forgive them, he won't forgive you. And there may be a lot of people on this earth that thought they were washed in the blood, but they were never, their life cleaned up as far as unforgiveness. And so you can't ever tell. Some of those people, if they died with unforgiveness in their heart, they may very well not go to heaven. Now, that's a scary thing to think about, to think that you would allow your enemy to hold an unforgiveness upon you and or against you, or you're holding it against them for something they done, and it appears you have justification to hold that, but you really do not. If you're a child of God, you don't belong to your own, you belong to the man. Now, when you realize that when you belong to Jesus, he will take care of you, he will watch over you, he will protect you. But we don't have to pay for nothing down here. They take care of everything, including two meals a day. So I can't hardly beat that, so I say praise the Lord. Now then, if you do forgive, or if you do not forgive, he said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And isn't that amazing? And he says, when you fast. What do you mean, when we fast? Lots of people never fasted. When I read that one day, it says, therefore, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, and call attention to yourself, but make sure that you just wash and clean your hair and put oil on it and make like you're not on a fast. Because he said, if you will do that, just anoint your head with oil and wash your face. And then he says, then you will appear not unto men as to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. Now, I praise the Lord for that. So, well, let's just read the book and honor what it says, and we will be blessed. I'd like to invite you to give me a call if you would like video, audio, DVD, CDs, music CDs that we make. These are all free and postpaid. We'll be happy to send some to you if you'll contact us on the phone at 940-242-2106. Or you can go to our website at www.tlsm.org, and there you can find all of our information. Have a blessed day in Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you and thank you and worship you for all the good things that you do for us. We thank you for the Word. We thank you that you provided everything for us, your children, on the cross. Everything is ours. Life is ours. Death is ours. Everything we need for life and godliness has been presented to us in the Word of the living God. Now, Lord, I thank you and praise you for this magnificent book, this owner's manual that we have. May we listen to your words and realize that you said these things and you meant them. This is not a novel we're to read. This is an owner's manual for life. So as we read the Word of God and discuss it today, may you touch our hearts with it and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're continuing on this week in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 6, and right now we're going to talk about verse 19, where Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and where rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I've come to realize that whenever I was a young man, although my mother and daddy were Christians, they wanted me to go to school. They wanted me to go to college. They wanted me to get a good education so I could do something on the earth. But the Word of God, it's okay to get a good education. But what is so devastating is we totally forget about the Word of God. So many people do. And this is where it's all at, in the Word. If you don't put God first and serve Him, you will never be blessed on this earth. I think about people that are working. They're working late at night. They're getting up early in the morning. And they're going out and they're toiling. They're conniving. They're figuring things. They're trying to figure a way to make a living. And some of them do a pretty good job of it. Some of them even make some very big bucks. But I've been to many a hospital with many of those persons that were 40, 45, or 50 years old that are laying on their deathbed. And I remember one woman years ago when her and her husband, it was awful to think about them. When I now look back at this picture, when they were young, they were running around. They were driving a good car. They didn't have any children. They didn't have time for kids. They just wanted themselves, and they wanted to just enjoy life and go do what they wanted to do. And then later I remember this woman. I was just a little bitty kid back in those days. I didn't understand any of these things, but I remember whenever that woman came down with crippling arthritis. And I remember that my mother, when I got to be a grown man, my mother told me about this woman. I thought, you know, I knew that woman when I was a child. And my mother said, you know, she's over in a nursing home. Why don't we go over and see her? So we did. And I had never seen a person with their body and their hands so warped as this poor woman's hands was. She still had a good mind, but she had not served God. She had not put God first, and the tormenting spirits had come to her, and they were tormenting that woman's body. Of course, I didn't have any idea what was causing this back in those days. But now I know. Jesus said in His Word, He says, I am a jealous God, and you were to put nothing before Me. If you serve the enemy, which there's only two gods to serve, you either serve God the Father with His Son and His Holy Spirit, or you serve the devil. And this woman, unfortunately, had served the devil. She had not served the living God. They didn't go to church. They didn't believe in Jesus. And so the tormenting spirits came to her in her later years and so tormented her. I think my mother told me that this woman was down like this for 15 or 20 years of her life. The last 15 or 20 years of her life, she spent in a nursing home, all stretched out, hands turned backwards. I mean, it was awful. I'll never forget that day I saw that woman. I thought, oh, my goodness, what is wrong with that woman? At that time, I had no idea it was tormenting spirits that had come to do her like that. Wow. But she'd not served the Lord. And then her husband, I remember, I went by and talked to him after that. He was still in fairly good shape. But I went by and talked to him about Jesus, and he told me, no, Thurman, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't go to church. I don't need God. Well, his sister told me whenever her brother died, she said, he got to hurting so bad we took him to the hospital. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. And so they were on the way back home. And she didn't understand. I did, but I didn't tell her. She said, on the way back home, Thurman, my brother got to saying, sis, help me. They're coming to get me. Can't you see those wicked things? They're coming to get me. She said, I thought he was hallucinating. What was wrong with him? I just told her, I said, ma'am, I can't tell you. I knew exactly what it was. This man had not served Jesus. He had not made Jesus Lord of his life. And so the hounds of hell, the demons of hell, these wicked things were killing him. And they were coming to get him, And he was able to see these things, and they were going to drag him screaming into the pit of hell forever because he had not made Jesus Lord of his life. Is that devastating or is that devastating? People don't believe this book. People read it. Even Christians don't believe this book. We think these things that he's talking about in here couldn't really be true. But they are. Jesus clearly said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure is making money, building fine homes, driving nice cars, and you don't have time for God, I can assure you that the hounds of hell, Satan's demons and his fallen angels, will come to get you. And you will not like the results. I can also assure you something else. If you are a Christian and you don't really put God first and you don't love him and make him the God of your life, they will still come and torment you. And then I will tell you something else I've learned. That even if you are a Christian and you go to church every time the doors open, if you don't study this book to learn who you are and your power and authority against these demonic forces, they will still come against you and torment you and make you sick and afflict you, and you will have tremendous problems all because these things are going to attack you and you don't know how to get rid of them. Paying attention to what this book says, reading this book, has been the most wonderful things that I have ever done in my life. I want to tell you that as I began to read this book and study this book, and realize that I needed to put Jesus first in everything I do. I thank him, I praise him, I worship him. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to serve you and to love you and worship you and to read and study your word. And Lord, I put you first in all that I do. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for sending your angels and giving them charge over me and watching over me and protecting me in the name of Jesus. When you do that on a regular basis and you love the Lord, then your treasure will be in heaven and not on earth. And then he will send his angels and give them charge over you. And then you don't have to be sick no more. What a privilege. I didn't know these things, but I was a good Christian. Went to church, served God, Sunday school teacher, deacon in a church, everything. But still, the enemy beat up on me and I had much sickness and disease. But about 20 years ago, I learned all these truths. I learned who the enemy was. I learned the power over the enemy, and I realized I didn't have to put up with him no more. So, I received Jesus as my healer by faith in his word, and I have never had a sick day since that time. What a privilege to know that the King of the universe is who he says he is, and what he says in this book belongs to me, his children. Wow. Then he says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. In other words, if you're meditating on the Word of God, Jesus is your Lord in your life, and you're only situated into one thing, one single thing, and that's Christ and him crucified, then your body will be full of light as you put the Word of God in you. But he said, but if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, then how great is that darkness? Now, how many people do you know that meditate on the things of the world? You come in during the day, you go to your computer, and you pull up some pornographic website. Your eye is full of darkness. That's from the darkness of this world. That will kill you. That will kill other people around you. But there's so many things you can do that's darkness. In fact, just round it up. Everything that's not of God is darkness. There's only two gods in this world. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom, are the kingdom of darkness. You're serving one of the two. You can't straddle a fence. There's no in-between ground. You either serve God or you serve the devil. You're either reading the word and believing it, or you're on your way to hell. But Jesus does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to come into his kingdom and love him and praise him and worship him. and then he will watch over you and protect you. But you have to know this book. You have to get into this book. You have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, hidden in your heart. And then you must obey what it says. You can have all of the Word of God hidden in your heart and still not obey it. And you still can be on your way to hell. I mean, there's some scary statements in this book. But when you read them, you will want to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. That's what he's trying to say there. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than this meat, and the body more than raiment? I'm telling you, the Lord will take care of you. He will bless you. He will meet all of your needs. He will take care of you. He will do everything if you will just serve Him. So whatever you do this week, put Jesus first in everything you do. Read His Word. We would invite you to call us. We'll send you free audio and video tapes, 940-242-2106. Or you can go to our website, www.tlsm.org, and there you can get a list of all of our current events where we're going to be speaking, and we can send you free and audio tapes from there. So have a blessed day in Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we discuss your word in the book of Matthew chapter 6 today, continuing, I ask you to bless it. I ask you to show us what to do. I ask you to reveal to us the truth of this mighty book, and I ask you to bless everything we do today, that it may bring such glory and honor to you and your kingdom on this earth. And we're thankful to be a part of that kingdom and have the privilege to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, yesterday we were talking in Matthew chapter 6 about how we should put God and His kingdom first, and how we don't have much faith because we were talking about whatever we put first is where our treasure is. And the Lord tells us clearly that we're to build our treasures in heaven. And He even said yesterday there in verse 25, He says, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, no, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it, not for life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. In verse 26, He says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these flowers. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven to burn, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That's us. We do not trust God. The reason we don't trust Him is because we don't know Him. We don't know anything about Him. We don't know His attributes, His character. The only way you can learn about God is reading His Word. When you begin to read the Word of God, you begin to understand who this magnificent God is. And when you put Him first in all things you do, He will absolutely bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Verse 31, He says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all, these things do the Gentiles or the world seek. He says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now that's in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now then, what are we supposed to seek after? When we seek after the things of God, when we serve the Lord, we're about his work, we're not ashamed of him, we're studying his word, we're learning about our King, we're making Jesus Lord of our life, he will meet all of your needs beyond your wildest dreams. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You can be well assured that the devil is out there, and he's always working on people. He's trying everything he can to get you to doubt, to not trust God, to not believe, so that he can get legal right to you. I guess I will never in my lifetime, and I hate to confess this, because the older I get, the more I understand about both the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. And the more I understand why so many young people fall to so many things. They have no idea the thoughts that are coming to their mind, where they're coming from. But these thoughts are coming from the enemy. We just don't realize that when you're a young person and you're getting started in life, where these thoughts, just have a cigarette with the boys or the girls, you'll enjoy it. No, it will start a process that will kill you. And those thoughts will come to your children to, just be one of the gang and take this drugs, some of these drugs and things. It won't hurt you. You'll enjoy it. No, they are from the devil, and they're killing you. He's teaching you to drink, to get drunk, and then get in a car and drive so he can kill you and someone else. The devil is totally, totally involved in all of these things. We just don't realize what that beast is doing to us and where these thoughts are coming from. But when you begin to seek God and his righteousness, then you will begin to understand where all these things are coming from. And then you won't yield to them no more. When the devil begins to put those thoughts on you, you just absolutely will not yield to him anymore. So the thing about it is, we are to trust the Lord as his children. We are to trust him in all things under the new covenant as we become children. Right here in the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where you read these things, technically in the Old Testament the people were servants. And in this little interim period, he calls them friends. But when he died on that cross and arose again, when we come into his kingdom there, we come to him in the closest form of organic unity that you can ever come to him. We become his children. We become children of the Most High God. So we take on a whole new way of life when we become children of God. But in Matthew chapter 7, the next verse here, in chapter 7 verse, he says, "Judge not, lest that you be judged." Now, I hear lots of people talk about this, but if you are here in the world, you're not a child of God at this point. You're just a friend to Jesus. You are not to judge the world, because if you're lost, they're lost, you're not to judge them. Even when you become a child of God, you are not to judge the lost world. But the thing about it is, which we so miss, when we become children, we become clean and pure and holy, just as if we had never sinned. We are supposed to walk in that the rest of our life. So as children of God, when we see a brother or sister sinning, doing something that's wrong, we are to go to them and sit down and talk with them and tell them what they're doing. Not necessarily are we going to judge them, but we're going to sit down and talk with them and tell them as their brother or sister in Christ what they're doing wrong. Because the Word of God clearly says that sin, as we begin to sin, it brings forth death. So under the new law, when we're not walking in obedience to God's Word, whenever we begin to walk in sin, according to Galatians, we have fell from grace. We didn't lose our salvation, but we fell from grace, and we have transgressed the law. We have broken the law. So when we break the law, then the hounds of hell, which are the police officers of the spirit world, have legal right to come get us. And the devil, being a legalist, he will do that. Now let me explain to you just a little bit clearer. It took me a long time to understand this. But I think about this wonderful grace. In other words, we live in an age of grace. We are technically free to live within the realms of love. And then there's no problem. We do anything we want to under love. And if we walk in love, you won't do no damage to your neighbor or nobody else. And you love God with all your heart. Well, you're totally free. But let's just take in the state that you live in. They have given you grace to drive on the highway, provided you have a car. It's registered and the registration is current. Probably must have liability insurance. You must maybe even an inspection sticker on it, and you must have a driver's license, and everything must be current. And if you have all that, now you're ready to go sit down in that car and get ready to crank it up and drive it on the highway. But that's not all the requirements. When you drive out on that highway, they've given you grace to drive from, say, 0 to 60 or whatever, or 0 to 35 or whatever the speed limit they've set on that segment of road. As long as you stay within those confines of the law, no police officer will stop you. If you're driving normal, driving down the road in a, some kind of a condition that's normal, you're not swerving or driving off the roads or pulling over into somebody's other lane. If you're driving normal, like you should, and you're driving within the speed limit, the police officer won't stop you. But let's say that the speed limit is 60 maximum, and you have all these requirements met, and you're driving 60, and you pass a police officer, no problem. You're within the confines of the grace that the law of that state laid down for you. But all of a sudden you say, well, but I'm in a bigger hurry today, and I want to drive 80. Well, now that grace don't extend to 80. It only extends to 60. So when you start speeding, now then you go over a hill up there at 80 miles an hour, although you have a car, it's yours, and you're on the highway, you have a driver's license, it's current, and your inspection sticker is current, your license plate's current, you have liability insurance, and everything that's required is there, except one area. One area, you speeded. When you pass 60, you're speeding. Sometimes they will extend that grace another mile or two or three or four or five, but very rarely will they go past 10. But if you go 80 miles an hour, you're 20 miles an hour over the speed limit, and I don't know a single police officer that would even begin to extend that grace to 80 miles an hour, unless you were taking a child or somebody to some place that had been injured, yet taking them to whatever. Then they might extend that grace, and they might even go with you. But when you break that law, you've gone past grace. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. If you stay within the confines of grace, which is to love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself, then the hounds of hell cannot touch you. But when you go outside of those realms, you fall from grace, you transgress the law, and you're guilty, and the devils, the demons, have legal right to torment you. So whatever you do, remember, when the Lord told us, do not sin, that's what he meant. He meant for us to walk holy before God. He clearly says in Proverbs 19:23 and in Psalms 91 and in 1 John 5:18 that if we do not sin, we walk holy before him. The devils of hell cannot touch us. So whatever you do, walk holy before God. Now I'd like to invite you to call me if you'd like these teaching audio, video, DVD, CD, tapes, and so forth, free and postpaid. We will send them to you. If you'll write, if you'll call us at 940-242-2106. Or get to us on the web. Go to www.tlsm.org. There you can see a list of events where we're going to be. It has an order form there. You can fill out, put your name and address. We'll be happy to send you free and postpaid audio and video tapes and whatever is listed there. And have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, we thank you, Lord, for the great and mighty things that you've given us. We thank you for this magnificent book, this owner's manual we call the Word of God. This book is true. It's written for us. Every word in it's true. It means exactly what it says, and it's not that difficult to understand. All we got to do is read it. Now, by the Holy Spirit, reveal it to us today, Father, and help us to really understand that you mean what you say in your word, and you're willing to do these things for us. Now, Father, bless us as we study it and read it in Jesus' name. Amen. We got some tremendous promises here in Matthew chapter 7. I mean, this book is so awesome, and it's got all these great and awesome, precious promises that even 2 Peter chapter 1 told us that because of these great and precious promises and through the knowledge of these great and precious promises that by faith we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. Well, God's divine nature, it doesn't include any pain, any suffering, any sickness, nothing. But it includes everything that's wonderful because that's God's divine nature. He's righteous and holy and all those things, and the Lord says we can be and do the same things because of the knowledge of these great and precious promises. Well, I want to show you one of these, or the beginning, several great and precious promises in here. But in Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7, look what he says in Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, think about those promises. Those promises are so magnificently awesome that most people do not believe these things are true. Now, when you look at this, and in verse 7 he says, ask and it shall be given you. Ask, and keep on asking, praising the King. Then he says, seek, and you shall find. Seek, I mean, in other words, it means to get in there and get with it and stay with it and don't give up until you find it. And then it says, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Well, sometimes you can't just knock on the door once. You got to keep on knocking. But if you keep on knocking long enough, eventually that door will be opened. For he says, for everyone that asketh receiveth. How many? Everyone. Now, this is one of the major secrets I've learned here. So many people ask, and it appears they never get their answer. The reason they don't get their answer is because the Lord says, I will not hear the prayer of a sinner. First of all, he says, you must repent and then come to me in faith. Well, as long as your heart condemns you, as long as you've got unconfessed sin in your life, this word won't work for you because it says it won't work for you. It says he will not hear the prayer of a sinner. So when you read right here, it looks like that they're unqualified. You can just anybody can come and ask God whatever he wants to, and it'll happen. But that's not true. You got to read this whole book. This whole book tells you that you must repent of your sins. That was Jesus' very first message. We talked earlier in this last message, since we started teaching on the book of Matthew, we found out that Jesus' very first message was repent. In other words, repent means turn from your wicked ways. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn from your wicked ways. So if we do not repent from our wicked ways, the Lord will not hear our prayer. So when we repent He will do exactly what he said he would do. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent. And confess your sins and get right before God. Then, when you get right before God and you start walking before him and your heart does not condemn you, then he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, or everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened to you. And then he goes on to explain to us in verse 9 of Matthew 7, or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things, whatever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now think about that. How are you supposed to treat people? The same way you want to be treated. Now see, he's telling you right there that if you will walk in love to all people. In other words, again, he goes back to what he says, God shall not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. So if you sow love everywhere you go, and God's character, God's attributes, then what's going to come back to you? Exactly what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. So if you walk in love to all people, then love's going to come back to you. And that's where people really want to live. Anybody that has any sense at all knows walking in love is much better than walking in hatred and fighting. I mean, I can't even imagine, and I praise God that I have gone through almost 66 years of life, and I have never, praise God, never had a fight in my life. I just don't believe in that. You know, I love to love people and not fight. The Lord said in his word, whatever I sow, that I'll reap. I think about a young man that I used to know. This guy loved to fight. I mean, he could go out and you could say anything to him that was wrong, especially if he got two or three, four beers in him. He would fight at the drop of a hat. And sometimes he would beat up on the people he fought with, and sometimes they'd beat the thunder out of him. There's always somebody stronger than you. I don't know how many stitches he had taken in his body. I don't know all the things that happened to him. But he was a well-known man for a fighter and everything, and he had many fights with many people. But at about 52 years old, that man died. He didn't live to be very old. Isn't that amazing? It never ceases to amaze me, you know, that this book is exactly true. Now, this man did not seek God. He did not know who he was. I trust that one day in his later life, I had the privilege to talk to him a couple of times about Jesus. Now, verbally to me, he never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But I am trusting that since I shared with him the truth of God's Word, that he did do that before he died. Because he died a young man. I mean, when a man dies in his early 50s, you know, you're not old. You haven't really, as far as I'm concerned, even began to live. But how many people do I know that dies at much earlier than that? Because of sin. I mean, many things happen. I think of my own sister. My own sister was only 21 years old when she was run into by a carload of drunks. And she was killed. And there was another young lady in the car with her. And both of those girls had already gotten married, had already had children. And they were both out together to a movie one night while their husbands were out of town. Both of them went together out to the drive-in movie in the little country town where we lived in. And they left their children with her mother and my mother. And they come over a hill coming back from the movie. And a carload of drunks passed a truck going up a hill and hit them headlights to headlights at 50 miles an hour and killed my sister and the other girl. What is it that causes premature death? Sin. My sister was a great Christian young lady. She loved God far more than I did at the time. I mean, I thought after I saw my sister laying there in that casket at 21 years of age, dead, I thought, Lord, if there's anybody who should have been killed, it should have been me. I mean, I wasn't walking that close to God. I was serving Him. I was going to church and everything, but I wasn't near the Christian that my little sister was. But because of sin, not necessarily her sin, but somebody else's sin, with the devil involved, he took out two ladies that morning. Sin has a consequence. It kills people. Not only the people that do it, but it kills people that are not sinning. But am I here to say my sister never sinned? No, I know she had sinned. Because the Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I do know, praise the Lord, that she was a Christian. I will have to say that my mother grieved so over my sister and the loss of her. In fact, my sister even told my mother probably several months before she was killed that the Lord had already revealed to her that she was not going to live much longer and that she wanted to be buried in her wedding dress with her rings on. And my mother couldn't grasp that. But sure enough, it came to pass. It happened. A few months later, my sister was killed in a car wreck. And we did bury my sister in her wedding dress with her rings on. And my mother, so grieved after that, finally one night, something happened. And the next morning when I was out at my mother's dad's house, my mother told me, she said, son, I will never worry about Gail again. And I said, well, mother, you know worry is a sin, and you have to trust God, and you know you're not supposed to worry. But I said, what happened to change your mind? She said, last night, Gail walked into my bedroom. I saw her. She walked up beside my bed and looked down at me, and she said, mother, will you please stop worrying about me? Said, Jesus is taking such good care of me. And she said, mother, I love you. And she turned and walked out of the room. She said, Thurman, I saw Gail in my bedroom last night. Let me tell you, God is an awesome God. He knows what's going on. He is a compassionate, loving God. And right here in Matthew chapter 7, He is telling us some of the wonderful things He's willing to do for us when we ask in faith. He tells us to ask, seek, knock, and it shall be given unto you. And then He even goes so far as to explain that, you know, He knows, He loves us much more than we love our own children. And if we, being evil, know how to give good things to our kids, don't you think He knows how to give good things to us? So don't you think we should start trusting the King and stop worrying? This is what He's trying to tell us. Stop worrying. Ask me for anything, but walk holy before me. Don't go out and sin and live in the devil's world and then come and ask me all these things and think I'm going to do them for you. Because He said they will not happen. But He said, if you'll walk holy before me and be my children, then you can ask me for anything and I'll do it. It is written in Matthew 7:7. So read it yourself and see what He says. Now, if you'll give me a call, we'll be happy to send you audio and video and CDs and DVDs of all these teachings we do. And they're free and postpaid. They don't cost you a thing. All you need to do is call. The phone number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also, you can contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can fill out a form and get the same thing. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's Thurman Scrivener again with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship You, we praise You, we thank You for the mighty privilege to study Your mighty Word. Lord, this magnificent book, the Owner's Manual, that You're telling us everything we need to do in life so that we can be blessed. You're telling us, about people, about everything. So there's not anything that You didn't leave out. Everything we need to know is in this wonderful book. Now, Father, if we study it today, I ask You to bless it to us and I ask You to reveal to us the truth so we will know what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless it to us. Amen. Now, we're in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start here in verse 13 today. And when I read this, this is, to me, this devastates me when I really think about what we're going to talk about in the next few verses. But in Matthew 7:13, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there will be that go in. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there will be that will find it." Now think about that. He's telling us in advance that although he's calling out people to be sons and daughters of God, he knew in advance before the creations of the world that the majority of the people would not follow him. But he went ahead and created this wonderful planet and this wonderful blue and white ball we call the earth. He went ahead and made this thing and gave it to us anyway, knowing that the majority of us would never serve him. But he wanted a body that would serve him, a body that would serve him because the body wants to be part of him and because of his goodness. So he went ahead and made this whole thing and then told us in advance that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there will be that find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there will be that will find that. Well, when I walk down the streets of an average city, I think about the sin that I see everywhere, just blatant sin. I look at the movie theaters. I look at everything. And I see people say, you know, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" "Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I'm a member of the church." "Well, when's the last time you've been?" "Well, I don't remember. I don't know. 8 or 10 years ago, I guess." Hey, those people's eyes are so blinded by the God of this world. They don't even have a clue what's going on. And when they die, the devil will drag them screaming into the pit of hell. Those people that live like that's not going to, they're not going to go to heaven. They're not going to be part of the kingdom of God. They're going to die and go to hell. Isn't that so sad? When Jesus told us in his word in Matthew chapter 7 that way that leads to destruction is broad. I mean, you see people out drinking, hanging out in the bars, you know, cussing, smoking, doing all the things they do. Worldly people. And that's the majority of them. But Jesus said that was going to be the majority of them. So it hasn't changed. But he said, there's going to be a few that will do what I tell them. That'll be holy. That'll walk in obedience to my word. And wow. Now then, you see those kind of people. And some of them you even see that knows the word. Seems to be praying the prayer of faith for people, and maybe even God's doing great and wonderful things. But still, you have to be careful, because listen to what the Lord says in verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing." In other words, they're going to be dressed as Christians. They're going to be dressed like us. They're going to be acting like us. But he says, "But inwardly they are ravaging wolves." That means they got demons in them. Inside of them, they got demons in them. Then he says, how are we going to tell who these people are? Well, Jesus told us in Matthew 7:16, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree." Now, he relates us to a tree. Usually when he's talking about these kind of things, when he's talking about a tree, he's talking about man. But he says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Then he says, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit." Then he says, "Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down, and it is cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now then, if people are producing good fruit for the kingdom of God, you shall know these true sons of God by their fruits. Somebody says, but I know a preacher that was a preacher in a Christian school, and he was teaching what the Bible says, but he himself was going out and running around on his wife and committing sexual immorality. Yes, I know those kind of people too. I know some of them personally. But let me tell you, I have my doubts as to whether those people are going to get to heaven. If I was one of them, I would sure want to be checking out my life. I would want to be getting right with God. So, but you really can't tell who is a Christian, who is not a Christian today, because God himself is the ultimate judge. All I want to do is know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I believe the Word of God and that I believe him, and I'm walking in obedience to his Word every day of my life. Praise the Lord. Then he says here, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Then he says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you can't just say Jesus is my Lord and then go out and live like hell, live in the bars, you know, drink, smoke, cuss, lie, steal, cheat, commit fornication, sexual immorality. You don't know the king. You have been deceived. Your eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. You need to get saved. You need to become a new creature in Christ. If you're living like that, hoping you're going to go to heaven, you better hope you don't die in that state, because you're not going to heaven in that state. Because when you become a true convert of the Word of God, if you become a born-again believer, then you will start acting like it, and you'll start doing what the Lord says. So don't let that devil cheat you. Don't let him get through to you. And verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we cast out devils? And in your name we have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Wow. Now just think. Here, what if you're a person that's just living with someone out of wedlock? What if you're just committing fornication? What if you're just lying a little here and there? What if you're just doing a few little things wrong and you think, well, I'm not such a bad person. But here, you are a bad person because you don't know Jesus. But here is somebody that was even saying that Jesus was their Lord. They were even casting out devils. They were doing miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they were taking his name and using his name. And his name was healing the sick, saving the lost, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead. And then these people died and went to heaven. And Jesus said, I never knew you. You never did what I told you to do. Is that scary? Yes, that's very scary. But this is the Word of God. How many Christians do I know that's never cast out a devil, never healed a sick person, never led a person to Jesus? Not one. How many people do I know that have done that? Many of them. But a few of them that I know are casting out devils and healing the sick. Praise God for those few. Praise the Lord that some people out there will believe your word and we're not hung up and steeped on religious tradition. Because when we get hooked on religious tradition and we start believing what a doctrine or a group of people, denomination, believes, and then we will not believe God's word, we just cut ourselves off from his power. goodness, how sad it is to know these things. But whatever you do, folks, this week, do something for the kingdom of God. Do something. Therefore, Jesus, in verse, starting with Matthew 7:24, he starts out with a story here that is such an awesome story. And we're going to talk about this tomorrow. This is going to be, we're going to talk about it a little right now. But it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon this house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, think about what he's talking about. Even if you're going to be founded upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, the floods and storms of life are going to come to your house. Now, what is your house? It's your body. You know, he's not talking about a rock house, a brick house, or a board house. When he refers to you and me, he refers to us many times as trees, and then he refers to the house we live in. The temple, or the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, is the flesh that we live in. This body is the flesh. So many trials and tests, storms are going to come against your body, your house. They're going to try to destroy you in every way they can. But when you do what this book tells you to do, you can stand against those hounds of hell, and you can beat them by faith in the name of Jesus. Every time, you do not have to yield to sin. You can overcome it, and when the devil comes to pound upon your house, you can drive him out with the Word of God, and you don't have to be sick and afflicted and tormented, and you can walk in divine health. Praise God, I've done it the last 20 years. So praise the Lord. Now then, if you'd like complete teachings on these subjects, we got many audio, video, CD, DVD teachings. We'll be happy to send them out to you free and postpaid. Just call us at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord and have a great day. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. I am so grateful that you're my Lord and my God. And Father, as this word goes out today, I ask you to bless it. I ask you to give your people revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from the mighty word of the living God, so that as your word goes out, may you bless it to their hearts and their minds, that they may come into a closer walk with you. Now, Lord, I praise you for the privilege to have been given this great and wonderful revelation that you've given me from your word, and may every word that I speak today be inspired by the Holy Spirit, so there'll not be one single mistake in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this last week, we've been talking about the book of Matthew. The last couple of weeks, there is some very, very wonderful things in this book of Matthew. It is just awesome what's in this book. But we're coming to Matthew chapter 7. I talked just a little bit about this yesterday, and I want to continue on here. I know that I can read the Word of God over and over and over and over and still never get the fullness of the meaning of the text. But the more I meditate on these verses in Matthew 7 that I'm going to talk to you about today, the greater becomes the revelation of what he means here. He's been talking about us asking in prayer, us walking holy before him, you know, us doing all the things he tells us to do, to serve him, to do what he says and everything. And he's telling us all of these things we're supposed to do, what we can ask for in faith, but he is definitely putting a demand Are we walking holy before Him? We are to produce good fruit. And the tree, which is us, the body, it cannot be good and bad. It's either going to produce bad fruit or good fruit. And he's been telling us all these things about what we can do, who we are, telling us the consequences, that if we do what he says, we will inherit, we will walk that straight and narrow path, and we can enter the kingdom. And if we do not, you know, we shall be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And even some people with bad trees, they produce rotten fruit, but still they had been casting out devils, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, using the name of Jesus to get it done. And they went to him and told him, you know, that, Lord, why can't we come in? He said, I never knew you. They said, but Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We did all these wonderful things. He said, depart from me, you doers of iniquity or wickedness. I never knew you. So when you see certain people in the church, that he says these people are ravaging wolves in sheep's clothing. You need to be very, very cautious as a son or a daughter of the King as to where you go to church and what you hear taught. Because it's amazing, absolutely amazing what people that profess to be Christians do. So be very careful who you listen to. Make sure that their fruits are good. You know, and that what they say is happening is happening. That's just like the other day. I was asked to come to New York. And now there was a lawyer, a great young man of God. He's a lawyer, and he's never seen these kind of miracles. So they heard about them. They got some of my videos. They listened to them. Although the videos and the teachings on the audio and the videotapes and everything that I sent them appeared to line up with their Bible, they had never seen any miracles today. So they wanted to know if these things were real. So they called my office and talked to my secretary, and they wanted to know if I would be willing to give them names and phone numbers of people they could call that had received miracles or healings, whatever. And so I said, of course. And so we gave them four, five, or six. But one of those people I gave them the name for was a man down in Manny, Louisiana, by the name of Johnny Brumfield. Now, Johnny, he's a Baptist. Him and his wife go to Baptist church. They appear to be wonderful Christian people. But 2 years ago, it would have been 2 years ago, I was down there in March, and the gentleman told me, he said, in June, it will be 2 years ago that a tractor ran over my legs and crushed my knees. And the doctors say, I will never walk again. Well, that night I spent 2 hours teaching these mighty promises of God's Word. What He says He will do if we repent of our unbelief and call on Him in faith, nothing wavering. Now, Jesus clearly told you and me in John 14, 13 and 14, as well as many other places in the Word of God, just like we just read here in Matthew 7, He's talking about asking, knocking, seeking, and it shall be ours. Well, I mean, there's many, many places in the Scripture teach these mighty things. So I went over to John 14, 13, 14 that day, and I asked the Father in the name of Jesus, according to John 14, 13, 14, to restore and heal Johnny Brumfield's legs, his knees, and make them whole. And I said, Lord, thank you. It's done. I said, Johnny, do you agree with that? He said, I most definitely do. Now, see, Jesus said, again, in Matthew 18, 19, another one of these great and awesome promises, that if two of us on earth could ask Him or would ask Him for anything in faith, He would do it. So we got so many of these magnificent promises. And so I actually used John 14, 13, 14 for Johnny, and I knelt down and prayed the prayer of faith for him. And as I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to restore his legs and make them completely whole, I thank the Lord for doing it. Now, the Lord tells us, right here. We've got to act on His word. We've got to act on His word. We've got to do what He says. So, after praying for Johnny, I asked him what that stuff was that was around his legs I could feel under his pants. And he said, that's the steel braces to hold my legs straight so I could stand up with someone's help. I said, well, if you believe God, you don't need those no more. So he said, I believe God. I said, okay. I said, take those things off. So Johnny Brumfield from Manny, Louisiana, he pulled his britches leg up, and he took all that steel off and threw it down on the floor. I said, now then, sir, take my hand and stand. And he took my hand, and I said, now in the name of Jesus, I command you to walk. Well, when I lifted him up, he said, oh, my goodness, it hurts. I said, I know it's going to hurt. The devil is going to make it hurt. The devil's going to do everything he can to get you to doubt the word of the living God. But I said, don't you go there. You believe God. He said, I believe God. I said, okay, then walk in the name of Jesus. I gave him a little tug, and he stepped out, and he walked. And he took another step. I kept giving him little tugs, and after three or four steps, I said, you're on your own. I turned him loose, and he walked around the podium three times, and then realizing he was completely healed, he broke and run to the back door of the church and then came all the way back to the front screaming, God is awesome. Well, of course, I've told that on video and audio tapes because it's wonderful to see Jesus do those kind of wonderful things. It's certainly him doing it. It's not me. But anyway, I'm doing it by faith in the name of Jesus. So anyway, this lawyer, he wanted to ask us to come to New York, and he wanted to know if there was any names of anybody that I had that he could talk to. So this is one of the ones we gave him. We gave him several. And while we were up there, we were riding down the road in a car, and I told the story to everybody in the car. And this lawyer looked over me, and he said, you know, and I called that guy. And what Thurman said to you is the truth. This man that he's talking about is real. And I talked to both him and his wife. And they both agreed that all these things happened when Thurman prayed for this man. Well, that night at a prayer meeting, there was a woman there that was 81 years old. And when she came in with a cane. She was weak. She could barely walk. She was bent over. So she came and sat down to service. She sat there for about 2 or 3 hours while I taught the Word of God. And then I said, does anybody need prayer? She said, sir, would you come over here and pray for me? She couldn't even get up to come where I was. I said, sure. So I walked over there to where she was, and I said, what can the Lord do for you? She said, well, I want you to pray for my eyes. I said, okay. What's wrong with your eyes? So she told me. And so I prayed, and I asked the Father in Jesus' name to be merciful to her eyes and to heal them, restore them. And then the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I said, and you also have a back problem. I said, I command your back to be straight and ever disc and everything be in perfect alignment and ever artery and everything, ever blood vessel and everything be in exactly the right place and ever nerve in the right place and your back be perfectly normal from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And I said, oh, by the way, your arms. I see there's something wrong with your arms. I asked the Lord, Father, in Jesus' name to restore her arms. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. And when I said that, bam, I heard her back pop. And she jumped up, and she jumped right straight up. She said, how did you know I had back trouble? I said, ma'am, I didn't know, but Jesus did. And she said, and my goodness, I had two bad rotator cuffs on my arms and could hardly move my arms. And she said, I am healed all over. Well, praise God. Everybody began to jump up and down and praise God. But the next afternoon when she came back to service, no cane, walking upright, straight. I told her, I walked over and shook her. I said, ma'am, you look like a 50-year-old tonight. She said, and I feel like a 50-year-old tonight. Isn't that amazing what God will do for us if we'll just believe His word? Now then, He's telling us here in Matthew 7, and He says, 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, will I liken unto him unto a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. A wise man that built his house upon a rock. Now, the rock we built our house upon is Jesus. He is the rock. There is no other rock besides Christ. He is the rock. He is the only one that's worthy to do these things. He's the only one that can do these things. And when you praise Him and worship Him and read His Word and seek Him, just like He said, you will begin to treat your body, your temple, you will treat it like He says, and then He will keep it strong and safe, and no devil of hell will be able to come against your flesh. Remember that Jesus said in 1 John 5:18, "My children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil, and the evil one, which is Satan, cannot touch you. So whatever you do, walk holy before God." Now then, if you would like any of our teachings, we have many video, audio, CDs, DVDs. We'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. All you got to do is call us, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web, www.tlsm.org. Now, TLSM stands for The Living Savior Ministries. There you can fill out a form. We'll be happy to send you audio and video tapes. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name.